Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, 305. McMonagle here with you on The Fan after one of the more gut-punching evenings I've had in a long time, really since October. And one of the more gut-punching nights we've had for a Knick franchise in a very, very long time as they drop game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, 138-135 to the Indiana Pacers after leading by as much as 17 in the fourth quarter, leading by 9 points with a minute left. Missing foul shots, not defending the three good enough, being sloppy with the basketball, especially in overtime. A bad call on a goaltending, an incredible shooter's bounce on the final shot of regulation. I mean, just so many different things had to happen in just the way they happened to send the Knicks home. Losers! And that's what they were last night. And now it's a matter of getting off the deck. Now they're going to find out who we're going to find out who this team is. Right? Because I talked yesterday morning about legacies. And that these series, one, you have to win this series. If they lose the series, it's an enormous failure. There's no other way to put it. I know it's the first time they've been to an Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. I understand they've already beaten the defending champs, the team nobody thought they could beat. Once you do that, you have to reassess where this team is, and this team is capable of beating the Indiana Pacers. They were up 17 in game one in the fourth quarter. They're capable of beating the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers are not better than the New York Knicks. They have home court advantage, or at least they did. They no longer do. They had home court advantage against the team they're just as good as or better. And now you have to win this series. And this is where legacies are made. And that first game is either going to be a footnote in a rousing recovery and tell us a lot about the gumption of this team, the heart of this team, the fight of this team, that they're able to come back from it, or it's going to be the signature moment of a lost opportunity that's going to live with them until next year and maybe beyond that, because you never know when you can get back to this place, this opportunity of an Eastern Conference Finals. It is an absolute disaster. And now we have to lean into the idea of everything that this team has shown us at every moment of this postseason, and particularly against the Celtics, that they will come back, that they will show fight, that they're capable of getting off the deck no matter how bad it got, no matter how the odds are stacked against them, and now the odds are stacked against them. That is a tough game to come back from. This is a tough team to beat. And they have to respond Friday night. And the Stars have to come out and play. They have to give a better defensive effort. They have to figure out a way to close a game if they have a lead, because now it's in their minds just as it was the Boston Celtics' minds. They just blew a huge lead. They blew a 17-point fourth-quarter lead. And quite honestly, to give the Pacers credit, because I think more than just the Knicks blew it, the Pacers did take it in many ways. Naismith hit every damn shot. And we have seen them do this against both opponents. They did it against Milwaukee, and they did it against Cleveland, where they were down, 7 points with less than a minute left and found a way to come back and win. They're very comfortable in these end-of-game situations, and the Knicks are going to have to find a way to win Friday night, because make no mistake about it, this is now. I know it's not the definition of a must-win. I understand there's still tomorrow. There'll still be Sunday if they lose on Friday. But this is now a huge, huge game, and it will be very hard to envision the Knicks winning this series if they lose the first two games at home at Madison Square Garden. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls. Mike in Islip. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you? You've got a little bit too much pep in your step. Everything all right? You seem a little bit too happy. Is it just to talk to me? Because if so, I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, I think Anunoby is definitely has a hamstring injury, without a doubt. Like, there's no way he misses that layup tonight.
I don't even know what that was.
There's no way he bobbles the ball down the stretch. So my question is, do you agree with me? And if you do, like, what should they do going forward? He's definitely hiding his injury, I feel like.
He tweaked it, and those things don't go away right away. He was able to play through it and came right back the next, played through that game, played the next game. So it's not as if it's something that he hasn't been able to play with. He played 42 minutes in this game. So I'm sorry, I can't use that as an excuse. That I can't do. He played 42 minutes in this game. He had dunks. He hit, again, he's at the forefront of their run. We were going to be talking about, as Ernie Johnson said in the quick post game I watched on TNT, we were going to be talking about the run the Knicks went on when Jalen Brunson got his fifth foul and was forced to go to the bench. That run in the fourth quarter, they're down, they're up three. They go on a run and they're up 17, and it starts with an enormous step back three from OG Anunoby and then getting to the basket and going on his own little personal 5-0 run to get it started. So I can't sit here and tell you OG Anunoby is compromised to the point that he's not functioning. Maybe he's dealing with something, but you know what? He's probably not the only one in this series dealing with something. So there are no excuses for OG Anunoby. None. I don't want to hear it. And maybe that moment his hamstring did give out on him or something. I have no idea what happened. I thought he was hurt because I've never seen somebody go up and just literally put the ball into the rim and just leave it there. I didn't know what the hell that was. But it's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because they missed foul shots down the stretch. They lost the game because they didn't defend the three-point line well enough when the three-point line was the only thing that could hurt them. They lost the game. They lost the game because in overtime they were sloppy with the ball. They lost the game because they didn't play defense on an inbound play up 1 point with 17 seconds left in overtime. There's a lot of reasons they lost this game. Don in Fort Lee. What's up, Don?
What's up, Christopher?
What's up, buddy?
Thanks
How
for,
are you?
Taking my call.
You got it.
Good. So, several Nick points. So, the thing is, it was clear to me that the Knicks are the better team, the bigger, stronger team. So, with that being said, it was a gut punch. It was as ugly as a loss as you'll ever have. However, I'm still confident if the Knicks bring the A game and the Pacers bring the A game, the Knicks are the better team.
That's what the Celtics said after game one. And it's what they said after game two. You can't throw away these games. I'm not saying you're wrong. I thought that was what we were on our way to saying. I thought with 5 minutes left in this game, we were on our way to having that conversation all morning long about how the Knicks are the better team. But it doesn't matter. They got the W, and you can't afford to throw these games away, because honestly, we all said the same thing after game one last round against Boston. You know?
Right. No, I understand. But it's a tough lesson. They just have to go back to work, take it as a lesson, and just clean up all the mistakes. I mean, I was watching OG tonight. Even on his open three-pointers, he usually has a soft touch. He wasn't even close on those three-pointers. So he just shot the ball very poorly, you know, including from the foul line on that one shot. So that was an atypical game for him. But, you know, Brunson is annoying because the littlest guy on the court, who's not even a plus defender, is getting in foul trouble. He shouldn't be committing these fouls because he's probably not going to stop the offense of the other guy anyway. You know, he's got to be smarter than that. We need to have him on the floor for the whole entire series. What are your thoughts about Brunson's foul trouble? Isn't that kind of bizarre?
Yeah, no, listen. Yeah, I mean, he's getting into foul trouble. We actually talked about this, and I got to give him credit. Brett in Long Island brought it up to me yesterday. Part of the issue with not playing as many guys as the Pacers play, not rolling as deep, not playing as many bench players, is that in these games that are especially fast-paced, especially, you know, guys trying to get to the basket, like, and especially if the game is going to be called and officiated. Now, they let a physical nature of basketball be played. It wasn't a super whistly game. It wasn't a very overdramatic, you know, easy foul kind of game. But you get into foul trouble playing these kind of games. And the Pacers will have an ability to kind of distribute the fouls because they're distributing players and they're distributing defenders on Brunson. They're distributing defenders on Karl-Anthony Towns. And it's easier for the Knicks only playing six or seven to get into foul trouble with their key players. So, yeah, he's got to do a better staying out of foul trouble. But honestly enough, it's hard to blame that on this game because when he left after being in foul trouble is when they went on the run and took a 17-point lead. Like, it didn't hurt them in this game. I mean, he's got to be better. Karl-Anthony Towns, again, has got to be better. They were all in foul trouble. OG Anunoby has 5 fouls in this game. Karl-Anthony Towns has 4 fouls. Brunson has 5. Hart has 4. Like, the entire starting lineup, outside of Mikal Bridges, who had none. Every one of them had at least 4 fouls. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
D-Mac, my brother, it is good to talk to you, you know, for some therapy.
Yeah.
Listen, I have a lot to say. Please indulge me, right? Because, all right, we're OG Anunoby, C-Mac. I usually am the guy who balances things out because, like I said, I've spoken to you before and many other people on these airways. It's like nobody has the to criticize this guy like they do Mikal Bridges, who's actually been way better than him in these playoffs. And let me say this, right? Yeah, Brunson turned the ball over a lot today. The guy was averaging 2.3 turnovers a game in the postseason, and he has the most touches and usage rate. He's the lowest turnover guy. He's inside 2-1, and he's fouled on many of those turnovers too. I hate to say that, but the truth is the truth. SGA, you breathe on the guy, and it's a different whistle for SGA, for Luka, for LeBron. We got 2 stars on this team, C-Mac, who get the worst whistles of any stars on the planet, because Karl-Anthony Towns also gets the worst whistle. But going back to OG Anunoby, we gave up Barrett. We gave up Quickly, 2 fan favorites, $43 million a year. We gave up draft picks. This guy, it has been pathetic in this entire playoff run, other than a few moments. So I'm hearing a lot of blame for Brunson, and I'm gonna, like I said, I told you one time, he earned the way you said that Giancarlo Stanton earned the right to not be criticized. To me, Brunson has earned that right. He's been as clutch as anybody, including Stanton. He's probably the most clutch player in the league. Well, he is the most clutch player in the league. People already are saying he's historically clutch, and OG Anunoby continues to embarrass himself. There's no excuses. He's not hurt. The guy blows layups. He has no hands. Brunson passes him the ball late in the fourth quarter. He catches that ball clean. He's under the rim by himself. He lays it in. The game's over.
Yep.
Yes, the refs blew the call because when he went up with that, they took 10 minutes to overturn it. They should have never overturned the fact that he was fouled in the act of shooting.
I agree.
And that would have went a long way. Everything went against the Knicks. But it's a turning point was when he dropped a wide open pass. He's got hands like he's Mitchell Robinson. I'm tired of watching him stumble and fall over the place and drop passes. He catches that, the game's over. He doesn't give the refs an opportunity to take this game over and make, you know, 10 calls in the favor of Indiana. Like you said, C-Mac, I agree with you on a lot. You know, everything had to go right, including the calls. The goaltend, Brunson gets hit in the throat to start overtime. We get a wasted possession because the guy can't breathe, has to pass it, laying the shot pass to Josh Hart, who winds up throwing up a desperation three, getting us off to a horrible start. Like, the refs couldn't be worse either, but OG Anunoby can't be worse either. C-Mac, thank you for the therapy.
Yeah, you got it, right. I understand. I appreciate you, too. Well, listen. I mean, you're not wrong about OG Anunoby necessarily. I think he's played a little bit better than you're giving him credit for, but there's no doubt. I mean, again, in this game, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on this game because I thought he had the two biggest baskets of the game. If they win this game, if they don't have the collapse, if they just win it, to me, the two biggest baskets of the game is OG Anunoby. That's the only reason I'm giving him a little bit of break. Now, ultimately, they don't win, and he's part of the collapse, and yeah, just hold on to the damn ball. There's no doubt. Make your foul shots, right? He missed a killer foul shot, and he didn't hold on to the ball in that situation. 100%. But I got to be fair, as they're building a 17-point lead, I really felt his two baskets were the most important baskets of the game. That step-back three and then following it up with a real tough shot underneath the basket, those are the two biggest buckets of the game. That separates them from 3-8, and away they go for a 17-point lead. So I'm giving him a benefit of the doubt in that, but you're not wrong. Defensively, he was killer in some of the games in Detroit. He hasn't really had that defensive impact as much in the last two series. They gave up too many threes, and he did not hold on to the ball. I completely agree. He's got to hold on to the free, and it happens a lot. It happens with Josh Hart. What was with Josh Hart tonight? Same thing, off his hands a bunch, and he can't keep his feet. I don't know what he's got to do. Go wipe off your sneakers or something. You're slipping and sliding all over the place. Nobody else was. I didn't see another person lose their footing the way I saw Josh Hart lose his footing. And he was getting beat on backdoors. Like, they weren't very good defensively. I don't want to make any don't get it twisted. They were not very good defensively. Neither were the Pacers. And that's why, look, it wasn't... Like, and again, I remember Charles Barkley said it at halftime, and I still don't agree with him. I don't know if he turned out to be right or not necessarily. I don't think he did. But he said, if I'm the Pacers, I still like the way this game is being played. The game is being played my way, and I understand I'm losing it. And that's, I was like, Charles, I totally disagree. I understand your point. But, like, if I'm the Pacers in the locker room, I'm saying, well, geez, man, we're playing our game and we're still getting beat. We're doing everything we wanted to do and we're still getting beat. If they came out and didn't play their game, if they came out and allowed the Knicks to slow things down, if they came out and didn't hit their shots, if they came out and weren't getting good looks from threes, if they came out and it wasn't a fast-paced game and they weren't scoring, you know, 60 points, 62 points at halftime, I'd be like, all right, man, we got to figure out ways to get better at things. Instead, it's like, no, we're doing what we want to do. The Knicks are just doing it better. And they were for much of the game. So, yeah, they weren't great defensively, but they were great offensively. They were outscoring the Pacers. They were on the way to winning the game. And defensively, again, yeah, they weren't good at the end. He hit every three. All he has to do is miss one. He hits all five. And again, it wasn't all bad look. It wasn't all easy, wide-open looks where he could stare at the rim forever. He had hands in his face. He had to come off a screen. As much as I'm complaining about Josh Hart's closeout and, you know, he slipped a little bit, he still had to pump fake Hart, step to his side, put up a shot. Like, it wasn't easy. They were decent looks, but he hit every one of them. The Pacers did everything right. Halliburton has to go back to the three-point line, immediately turn around and pretty much throw up a shot that he barely got a look at with Mitchell Robinson in his face. And it goes off the back rim and all the way up and straight down. Like, a lot had to happen. Matt in Ohio. What's up, Matt?
Hey, tough game, obviously, yeah. But got insomnia, so I figure I'd call before I try to get some sleep, maybe.
I appreciate it. Yeah, no, give me a call.
Yeah. So a few things. It's like you said, like 20 things had to go right, and they all did. And if you had to lose a game like this, I guess game one is the best game, right? If it was, if this put you down 2-1 or 3-2, I think it would be worse.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you have more time. Obviously, with game one, you have the most time possible to overcome a devastating loss. That's absolutely true. The numbers
they
about game
well
ones
overall.
Are... They played fairly well. Defensively, they could be better, but they did take the Pacers game and kind of stick it in their face, and they played really well offensively. We saw Karl Anthony Towns continue that effort that he gave you in game six of the Celtics series. He rolled it right into this one.
He played hard.
I thought Mitchell Robinson was a force defensively and on the offensive rebounds. He gets 8 rebounds in 20 minutes, 4 offensive rebounds. So you got what you wanted from him. I thought Miles Bridges in this game really came out and played pretty well, hit a couple of shots. He was hit a three,
yeah.
hit his foul shots. He's a plus 12 in this game, comes up with an enormous block on a dunk. So, I mean, there are positives, and they played fairly well. It's just...
I think the problem is if we want to get into that racehorse style, we're not deep enough with the bench to do that for 48. I think it caught up to us a little.
Yeah.
And here's my last stat of the night, Peter Ponder. In the 5 minutes, Brunson was out with his fifth foul. Indiana scored 6 points. In the 5 minutes after he came back, they scored 27 points.
Yeah. No, he is not a great defensive player. And you saw Tibbs mixing and matching every possession. Defensive possessions, he was on the bench. Offensive possessions, obviously, back on the floor. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. He's a minus in this game. He's a minus 8. I mean, other than Karl Anthony Towns, the entire starting five is a minus. Mikal Bridges is minus 15. OG Anunoby's minus 12. Brunson's minus 8. Hart's minus 4. The three pluses in this game are Deuce McBride at plus 12, Cameron Payne at plus 5, and Karl Anthony Towns plus 9, and Mitchell Robinson was a 0. Defensively, they struggled in this game, there's no doubt. But you know what? When you play that kind of game back, like they took the Pacers game and took it to them, and were beating them at it. You have to make sure that you don't give up those threes. They weren't all great looks, but you've got to be on the three. Let them score twos. Let them get to the basket. Do not give up threes. It was infuriating to watch him hit all those three-pointers. Infuriating. And it was a slow death, right? Like, it was like, all right, so he hit one. All right, he hit two. You're still up big. All right, even hit three. All right, you're still up big. And then the missed foul shots are killers. The block shot that should have been a goaltend is a killer. And then OG Anunoby dropping the ball. There's no doubt about it. And then the foul that's overturned is a killer. And I'll be totally honest with you. Look, do I think that it was fair that foul was overturned? Do I think he got ball and then all contact after? I mean, I sort of agree with it. But as they were saying on the broadcast, even Reggie Miller was saying it on the broadcast. But certainly Van Gundy was. And this is my problem with replay. We all want to get the plays right. I agree. But the replay is there for the egregious overturn. If you have to look at a play for 5 minutes from 100 different angles, leave it like it's called on the court. Leave it. They should not be overturning stuff after looking at it for 6-7 minutes. If it takes that long, it's not an egregious call. So in my mind, and this is sour grapes totally, if you're listening to it as an anti-Nick person, I get it. It's probably sour grapes. We'd all be happy if it went the other way for us. But I think I'm being fair when I say this. In my mind, replay is for the egregious call. Something obviously safer out, something obviously fairer foul, something obviously foul or non-foul, something obviously before the clock, after the clock, whatever. Something that is obvious. Something I should be able to look at in 30 seconds and make a decision on. If I have to look at it for 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, then it's not an egregious call, and leave it as it was called on the floor. It doesn't make any sense to me. What? How many different angles? At that point, you're probably just guessing. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. More of your calls as we try to come to terms with this brutal game one loss. Knicks lose to the Indiana Pacers 138-135, blow a 17-point fourth quarter lead, and are the first team in 1,415 tries to lose a game with a minute or less left and up by nine or more. The first time since 1998, 1,414 teams have tried before and all managed to close the deal. The Knicks are the first team to blow it, and under those circumstances, it's a hard pill to swallow. We're still coming to terms with it. But in the second half of the show, a rousing comeback of how the Knicks can find a way to win game number two and get back into the series. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, 333. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Knick fans, let's go. 888-808-1019. When do we start getting over? When do you start feeling better? When do we start really transitioning into the idea that they actually, as ugly as it was, for the first 46 minutes of this game, they were the better team and had an opportunity to win this game. And if they can come out with that same effort and take game number two, maybe we feel a hell of a lot better. Because honestly, as that last caller said, and as, you know, we try to spin it positive, because I do want to be positive about this team, because I can't just give up on them, right? I'm frustrated. I'm mad. We're all mad. Like, there's no two ways about it. I am furious with them. I am furious. Last night was sickening. I was sick to my stomach, man. It's impossible not to be. It's impossible not to be. But that doesn't change the fact that I've believed in them at every turn. I gave them a puncher's chance. I was one of few. I certainly, you know, I know Tommy guaranteed it. I did not guarantee a victory against the Celtics. I did not pick them to beat the Celtics. But I certainly didn't believe that it was a lost cause. And even after game number three, I thought they would come back and win game number four. And even after game number five, I thought they would come back and win game number six. They have consistently got off the deck. The difference here is they were the better team this time. They were the team that took it to them and that the effort was good and that they came out. And they're the team that separated themselves in the second half. And they're the team that blew the lead. They're the team with the better effort most of the game who blew it. How do they respond to that? Because this is the first time they've had to deal with that. They've dealt with getting blown out, right? They've dealt with, you know, just not showing up game number three, game number five against the Celtics. But they haven't had to deal with this. Now, they haven't had back-to-back losses in this postseason, and I expect them to show up with a sense of urgency that hopefully is going to be very difficult to match for the Indiana Pacers. The Knicks have to win this game Friday night. And I expect them to. I really do. I expect them to come out and win this game. The issue is it's tough to blow leads like this. It's tough to blow games like this. It's tough to, you know, come back in a hard-fought series where the Pacers are going to win one of the games in Indiana. They're going to win one. Hopefully not two, but they're going to win one. So, I mean, best-case scenario for me now is you head back to Game 5, tied 2-2. I mean, in a series like that, it's tough to just give away loss. It's tough to give away wins, man. You had one in your back pocket and you blew it. It's very difficult to come to terms with, but it's also not a death knell. It is only game one of the series. I don't care what the numbers say about 78% of the time. That's history, man. Now you got to learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it, but that is no guarantee on what's supposed to happen in this series or what's going to happen in this series. So the New York Knicks have to rally. Jalen Brunson has to be better with the ball. They have to find a way to make things maybe a little bit easier for him and not, you know, have to expend so much energy. Karl Anthony Towns needs to come out with the same intensity. And if they get into this spot again, they have to close out. They have to be better defensively. They have to hit their foul shots. They've got to close out this game on Friday night. Friday night now is their life. And they better show it. 888-808-1019. Edgar, all the way out in Colorado. What's up, Edgar? Edgar! Come on. Hello, Edgar? Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, do a great job. Just let me have my say. You know what? I was strumming my guitar because I'm learning to play the guitar.
Okay.
I got a best friend in Florida. Best friend in Florida, and I'm watching the disaster. And you know what? This is not surprising. They don't play any defense. Thibodeau doesn't use the bench. This guy's shooting threes. Press up on the guy. Defend the three. He doesn't do that. Could he call the timeout and stop the momentum? Can he do something? Even you said it. Instead of Brunson inbounding the ball, how about someone else doing it? He doesn't coach this team. He's absolutely terrible. He had the problem in Chicago, the same problem in Minnesota. He doesn't use the bench. And you know what? They're careless with the ball. That reflects coaching. If they lose and we get a new coach, then so be it. The only consolation I had was I saw the Martian hit an upper deck shot. My Yankees are hot. So I wasn't completely upset. But I'm not surprised because
Well, yeah, I think it's unfair. He just coached them and out-coached the coach of the Boston Celtics defending champs. He just got through the defending champs. Like, I mean, I'm not ready to throw away. And again, like, you know, you can't give me all this stuff about Tibbs. And, you know, he's not the reason they lost the game. They missed the foul shots. They win the game. Plain and simple. They missed the foul shots. They win the game. He said in the postgame, he told them to foul on that possession. They didn't foul. I mean, I don't know if that's the exact reason they lost.
He's not the reason they're slipping and sliding all over the place instead of closing out. They know they got to play the 3-point line. I mean, he led them to a 17-point lead with 4 minutes left. He led them to a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. It's about execution from the players. Some of it's coaching. He's not free of blame. But the idea that this would be a blessing in disguise, because if they lose, at least they get rid of the coach. One, I hate that. You're crazy. Yankee fans say that, too, about Cashman and Boone. It drives me absolutely bonkers. And two, he's not going anywhere because he just beat the Boston Celtics. And he took this Knicks team to the first Eastern Conference Finals that they've been in 25 years. I had questions about Tibbs. And then, oh, he doesn't play the bench. Hey, newsflash. The bench sucks. The bench isn't any good. Doesn't play the bench. The bench stinks. Hopefully next year they'll have a better bench. That's what we're looking for next year. Not a new coach. A better, more well-rounded team that maybe you could play a little bit of the bench. The bench stinks. They have two bench players worth playing. And he played each of them 20 minutes. Tibbs is not the reason for the loss last night. Not exclusively. He's part of it. They're all part of it. He's not the reason they lost this game. He really isn't. If they execute down the stretch, it's not why they lose the game. If OG Anunoby holds on to a ball, like if OG Anunoby holds on to the damn ball, they win the game. He let the game slip through his fingers. He missed a foul shot. Carl Anthony Towns missed a foul shot. It's not on Tibbs last night. It just isn't. Not completely. Chris in Farmingdale. What's up, Chris?
Oh, man, this reminds me of 95, but worse. You know, one thing I saw that I think it was a little too soon to do was when OG fouled, I forget who it was, with 12 seconds left. I think they should have let them dribble out more. They probably would have, by the time they would have shot the ball, maybe it would have been 6 seconds left. Okay, maybe they shoot the three and tie it. But the thing is, you stop the clock right away with 12 seconds. That's too much time left. And at the time, I was like, okay, maybe this can work. But then I saw it backfired. I can't believe. And I kept saying during the game, like, all right, up 13, up 4. No. It's not enough time, not enough points. We need to keep it going because it's still too much time left. And then I think, like you said, they're up 14 with 2.5 minutes left or two minutes, 50 seconds. Like, all right, I think we can call in the bag. I can't believe they blew it.
And then
you know what? I really hate a player. When I really hate a player, it means I respect them. I can't stand Haliburton.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand Tatum and Trae Young, but I respect the heck out of them. When Haliburton shot that ball, honestly, I thought it was a three until I saw the score. And like, why did he make a three? And when it went up in the air like you, I'm like, oh, this is mine. And it went down like that.
I thought it was over.
That
ball
with the Pacers and the Knicks.
That ball bounced up in the air. I thought it clanked. I'm like, oh, thank God they pulled this one out. Thank God. And then it falls back in. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that. And it fell. It barely even touched the net. It was perfect right down the center of the basket. Oh, my God. Just absolute depression.
I'm like, this freaking guy Haliburton. I'm like, I call him the Hindenburg.
No, listen, he was great in the game. And now the choke thing, look, to the victor go the spoils. I know in that moment he didn't win. It was too early. Reggie Miller's in the building. You can't deny the history of that thing. Like, if he was going to listen, they came from behind like no team has ever done since they kept track of it in 1998. Like, no one, he can do whatever he wants. I'm sorry, Knicks fans. I'm not going to get mad at him. I'm not going to get mad at him for doing, I mean, is it obnoxious? Yeah. Did it piss me off? Yeah. But it also makes for a good rival. Come back and win and throw that right back at him. And he was really good in this game, but it's Naismith is 8-for-9 from 3-point land. 8-for-9. And 5 in the fourth quarter. I mean, that game was over, and he just starts hitting every single. If he missed one, right? And I don't think it was him who missed it. There was one missed three in that sequence, and Obi Toppin takes the rebound and slams it home. I mean, it was just everything about that loss, everything that went down in that game, everything about it is just impossible to get over. It's an extremely difficult thing to come to terms with. It is. But there is a part of you, the positives are they were the better team for most of the game. They were. Now, this is the same thing the Celtics were saying. It's the same thing the Celtics were saying. They've got to come out and put a full 48 minutes together. This is a gut punch, though. There's no two ways about it. And, yeah, I mean, there was a couple sequences there. I think you're talking about they didn't foul him right away and they were passing the ball around. It was left with 12 seconds left on the foul shot. Yeah. Also, I thought before, I mean, you can make an argument that Jalen Brunson shouldn't have even thrown the ball to OG Anunoby, that he should try and back that out and get fouled, waste more clock, get fouled, get to the line. And then, yeah, the one thing I'll say about Tibbs, and there was a bunch of things, obviously, defense, that final out of bounds play where you allow OG, I keep saying OG Anunoby when I say Obi Toppin. When you let Toppin just, you don't put a defender on the ball, they don't foul, and Toppin just goes and lays it in to give dunks it home. And lucky it wasn't a 4-point play. Lucky it wasn't an N1, and gives them a 3-point lead there with the game on the line. And that final possession too. You give them credit for fighting for the rebounds, but Brunson throws up an air ball. Karl Anthony Towns, could you stand any close? You're not going in for the rebound, right? You back out for the 3-point play. Do you have to back out 5-6 feet behind the line? How about like right at the line? Because you come up 3 or 4 inches short. But the one thing I'll say about Tibbs is, and I don't know if this is fair, because I know you want the ball in Brunson's hands. And if you inbound it to anybody else and they turn the ball over, you're going to be annoyed Brunson didn't get the ball. But you know they are going for the steal, and you know they are going then to trap. There's plenty of time in the last two or even three possessions. You know there's time enough in the game where they can try and go for the steal before they foul right away. Try and work some, and it was so hard, and there were really no screens. It was just a matter of get open. Try and get someone else the initial inbound and get the ball to Brunson. I know maybe they would foul right away with Towns or something, but like they were doing that anyway. I want to see if I can get, they're going to go for the steal. I don't know. Try and get Brunson at the foul line. Is there a way to figure out a way to get Brunson at the foul line? I don't know. I'm probably being overcritical on that, but it's annoying watching OG Anunoby miss 3-pointers. It's watching Karl Anthony Towns, who's an excellent free throw shooter, miss 3 throws. It's just, and that one possession, instead of, again, how many different things go wrong? The goaltending, Naismith making every single shot, OG Anunoby not being able to hold on to the ball, that loose foul call being overturned. Even like on that play, I didn't want to see the ball thrown down low to OG Anunoby. Dribble it out. Waste the clock, get fouled, go to the line, hit your foul shots. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Not happy about last night, for sure. I mean, but what we did to the Celtics, ever enter your mind that they might do the same thing to us?
Right now they are the Celtics after game one. The Knicks are in the exact same spot as the Celtics in game one, where they blew it, they were the better team for most of the game, and you still feel confident that they can be the better team in the game and can still win the series on some level, but that's an absolute gut punch.
That was a bad loss.
Oh,
it's one of the worst losses.
It feels like it's the worst loss in franchise history. Yeah, it feels like the worst loss in franchise history. I know, you know, Charles Smith under the basket and that game against the Bulls. Was a terrible loss. Obviously, the finger roll was a terrible loss. Game six against the Rockets in the finals was a terrible loss. They've had a bunch of terrible losses. This one, in the nature in which it happened, this might be the worst loss in franchise history. It's the worst loss in a, I mean, it's been,
in
it's
very,
almost to the point,
long time.
It almost, you refresh. Let's be totally honest. Even if, you know, maybe not if you're Joe Beningo's age and he, and that game to him, the Charles Smith game.
I'm older than him.
Right. So maybe if that's still on the forefront, but for me, a guy of 41, 42 years old, it almost just gets refreshed after 25 years. So
yeah, we don't need that. If, the thing is, the Charles Smith.
Yeah.
That would have gotten them a championship. If they would have beaten the Bulls that year, they would have won the championship.
Maybe.
I don't know about the Rockets series because the Rockets had Hakeem. We had Patrick, but the Rockets, that was a more evenly matched series.
Yeah, but they had game 6-1, man. They could have won that in six. There's no doubt about it. They were good enough to win that series. But this one, the benefit, and thank you for the call, Stu, the benefit of it being game one, I suppose, helps because they have plenty of time to recover from it. But to me, and when I say refresh, I just mean it, anything else, any other loss you want to go back to is so damn long ago that it's hard to even put it in perspective, quite honestly. At least for me it is. The last time they had a real devastating loss like this, I was in my early teens. I don't remember it as well. I don't remember what it felt like as much. Maybe some people are able to. I know Evan can, you know, recall things like a maniac back when he was 8 years old. Like, I remember the games. I remember running in. The finger roll was devastating. But this was harder to watch as it just continued to happen. As everything went against them. As every basket, you're like, oh, yeah, but still. They can't blow this, can they? And you would get, like, you would get one basket or they'd get to the foul line. And you're like, all right, thank God. At least they'll, you know, no way they're going to miss all these free throws. And even after miss that many, only the two free throws killed them. One from OG and one from Karl Anthony Towns, who stared at that basket so freaking long. Go back and watch that second free throw Karl Anthony Towns takes. He just stares at the rim, and I'm like, what are you looking at, man? Don't do this to yourself. Don't stare at the rim for 10 minutes. Get the ball and shoot it. I mean, just, and then that ball in the air, I mean, I cannot believe that went in. I cannot believe that ball fell straight down into the basket like that. I celebrated. It looked like a clank. It went straight up in the air. I'm like, thank God. Thank God they don't blow this thing. And then falls through. I was in stunned disbelief. I could not believe that ball went through the basket. And perfect. I mean, it barely touched rim. I mean, it barely touched net. It didn't touch rim. It barely touched net. It was just perfect. That is an impossible game. And look, we could say whatever we want about it only being game one. Game ones are important. The Knick team in franchise history has never won a series when losing game number one at home. Never. Never. 78% of the time in conference finals, the game one winner is your series winner. 78% of the time. Now, what does that mean for this series? I don't know. I guess not much. But now they're climbing uphill. Now they have to overcome. And what bothers me the most, and this is what I said in my open. What bothers me the most, despite how they lost it and blowing the lead and how devastating a loss it is and how hard it is to overcome and now wondering how this team finds it in them to get off the deck. What bothers me the most is what kind of win it would have been. Because 78% of the time you win game one, you win the series. And they were the better team. And not only that, we talked about what kind of matchup it had to be and what the Knicks wanted to do and what the Pacers wanted to do. And to me, a lot of the game, if not all of it, was played the way the Pacers would want to play the game. It was a fast-paced, back and forth, very little defense, everybody hitting their shots, back bucket for bucket, basket for basket. It was played the way the Pacers would want to play it. And the Knicks rubbed it right in their face and said, all right, look, you want to play this way? All right, let's play this way. And they got a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. They pulled away without Brunson on the floor. They took the piss. They played the way the Pacers wanted to play and were better at it. And that's part of the reason that I have a little bit of faith moving forward, because in my mind now, all right, it would be one thing if the Knicks played the game they kind of wanted to play, slowed it down offensively, Karl-Anthony Towns dominated, and he didn't in many ways. He did score a lot of points in this game and early on. But if they were able to slow the game down a little bit, really do a better job on transition defense, limit Indiana to scoring less than 130 points or 125 points, kept this game in the 100, kept this game in the high 90s, did what we were expecting the Knicks to try and do, and then they blew this lead, I'd almost feel worse about it, because I'm like, damn it, the Knicks played their game, they got it just the way they wanted. This was the game they had to win because they limited the Pacers, they took the Pacers out of their game, and then they blew it in the end. But instead, it was like, hey, they played the Pacers game, they played the fast-paced game, they did what they wanted to do. They got all the shots they wanted. They ran the floor. The Knicks had issues in transition defense. Everything we kind of worried about was happening, and they still were up 17 points. It would have been a resounding, like, screw you, let's play your way. I don't care. I'll play your way. We'll play our way. I don't care how we play. We're better than you. And instead, it became the tale of two. I know the Pacers have done this as well, but the Knicks specifically, you know, in our focus of the Knicks, have been the team that's been the better fourth quarter team. They've been the team that's come through in these moments. Keep it close has been the mantra of the team. Just keep it close, just keep it close, just keep it close, just keep it close. We've been saying that forever. We said that the entire Celtics series, just keep it close. We were the team that played better in the fourth quarter. We were the team that came from behind. We were the team that made the smarter plays, that the breaks went their way late in the games. And instead, it's almost like we played their game to start and we're better at it, and then the Pacers played the Knicks game at the end and we're better at it. And I know that's probably unfair to the Pacers because that's been their game too. They came from behind, you know, down big against Milwaukee one game. They came down big against Cleveland in one, and Halliburton has had heroics and Brunson's had heroics. So they both played that style of game, but we've watched the Knicks do it time and time again. And to take their game at them and throw it in their face and be better at it, and to take a 17-point lead only to watch it squandered by losing in a manner in which the Knicks are supposed to be better at, it just is a tough, tough pill to swallow. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll have an update. Travis, Pat, we'll get right to you. The rest of you Knicks fans, if you're just waking up, coming up at 4 o'clock, or if you haven't gone to bed yet because who the hell could sleep after a friggin' disaster that was in game one of this first Eastern Conference Finals we have seen in 25 years. Either way, I'm here with you for another hour, taking your calls on it as we break it down and really start to look towards game two and what is as much a must-win as you could have without your back to the wall. The Knicks need, if they are going to win this series, it's hard to envision it without taking game number two Friday night. So how the hell do they get off the deck? How do they find a way? How do they galvanize themselves to figure out a way to win on Friday night? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back after the update and the break. Take your phone calls all the way to 5 a.m. right here on The Fan.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.